Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We said today was our Vision Sunday. We're casting a vision for this year, talking about something more. Something more. Tonight I want to talk about being something more or being a part of something more in the local church context. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And whether you not realize it or not, that verse has a whole lot to say about living for something more than just your personal goals and objectives. I said this morning that deep down everybody wants to be a part of something greater. We want to know that our life matters even after we're gone, that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think God has put that into us so that we'll be a part of what He's doing. I said this morning also that people join clubs and organizations. They join movements hoping to find meaning in their efforts and make a difference in the world in which they live. Whether it's a community sports team, I see people having the compass and something else for the Masonic Lodge, and there's just the Moose Lodge. I don't know if we have any Moose Lodges out here, but there's people that are always trying to join something to contribute that's going to outlast them. But I want to tell you something tonight that I hope that you will carry with you the rest of your lives. The greatest opportunity to be a part of something more, something eternal, something greater than yourself, is not found in some club or organization. It's not found in some movement. It's found in the local church that God established. You see, unlike any other organization, any other movement, the church is not a human invention. It's simply a gathering of like-minded people called out. It's a collection of individuals, if you will, working toward a cause and a purpose. The church is a living, breathing body designed and ordained by God Himself to glorify Himself and through it transform lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, the verse we just read, the Apostle Paul gives us a beautiful picture of what the church is meant to be. He describes it as a body fitly joined together, with every joint supplying that's which is needed. That means that the church is carefully designed, with each member playing a critical role in its mission. There's no superfluous people that God sends to His local church. No one is here by accident. If you're part of the local church, you've been placed here by God on purpose for a purpose. What's that purpose? To continue and contribute to the growth and the building up of the body in love. That's what it says in verse 16. So what does it mean to be fitly joined together? Well, I think that when we see it as the church is God's design, we understand that it's not an afterthought. It's not some man-made institution. It's God's masterpiece. And it's designed with precision and intention. I don't know that much about sewing, but I remember taking home ec in junior high. I understood that's where the girls were going to be. I didn't know they were going to have to make me sew something. I didn't get good at sewing, and I didn't meet any girls. But I do remember they had these things called templates. You had to cut around this design, and nothing looked like it was really going to go together. But when it was done, it was supposed to be a teddy bear stuffed with pillow fluff, okay? I tell you this, you get a collection of people from every walk of life, from different backgrounds, different histories, and you put them together in a group and you think, what kind of motley crew would this be? You say, are you insulting me, preacher? No, I'm in amazement at God who can bring a group of people together that wouldn't normally come together for any other reason but for the cause of Christ and to do something for His glory. And He uses us then beyond what the sum of the parts are. Each believer is part of a puzzle, and they're placed exactly where God intends. Think about that. God didn't just save you to leave you wandering on your own. He saved you and He put you in a family, a body where you belong. Unique gifts that you have are for the betterment of those around you. The talents, the experiences, who you are matters to the body of Christ. Not just what you can do. Let me say that again. Who you are matter to the body, not just what you can do. In 1 Corinthians 12, 18, Paul said this, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him." Let me just reiterate what I said earlier. You're not here by accident. God's given you a specific role to play in the mission that He has given His church. How easily do we forget that truth? Sometimes we treat church like it's optional, just another activity in our schedule. We need a little refill spiritually, so we'll show up to church. But the church is so much more than that. It ought to be the Christian's lifeblood. And when you're not here, our church is lacking in some area. Somebody said, "This church isn't friendly enough." And the pastor said, "Then come along and be more friendly." Somebody said, "Hey, we're not reaching children like we should." And so the pastor said, "Listen, maybe you can start a bus route." It just may be that the thing that you're wishing Maranatha would do is what God is calling you to do with your talents and abilities. I want to talk about the source of being more. You know what the source is? Christ. He's the head. Look at this verse again. It says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together." From whom? Christ. Everything begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the reason that we have purpose. He is the one who connects us to something greater. You see, as we, as the branches, are connected to the vine, we are so much more than just some little vine. We are bearing precious fruit from God. Everything begins with Christ. Colossians 1:18 says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Christ isn't just a leader or some figurehead or religious person. He's the source of the one who unites us. Excuse me, He is the source of life. He is the one who unites us. You know it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is the Good Shepherd? He's the one that directs our church. As a pastor, my job is to be the under-shepherd. The under-shepherd to whom? To the Good Shepherd. You know, unity must flow from Him. If we're going to be part of something more, it doesn't come just from our shared interests or our personal preferences. It has to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't really sit and talk very long about Wolverine football with Brother Glenn. And I can't talk about Washington Redskins football with Dr. Beal. He's not here, but the reason that is because the Redskins don't exist anymore, all right? Those are fine things to talk about. There's nothing wrong with talking about those things. But that's not what holds this church together. At least it shouldn't be. What is it that holds the Lord together? Or excuse me, what is it? I just gave it away. What is it that holds us together? It's the Lord that holds us together. He's the foundation that we're resting on. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 describes how we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Without Him, there is no unity, there is no purpose, there is no direction. It must be about Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a part of something more, he must be the head of all things. And as Colossians said, be preeminent. You know what it means to be preeminent? It means to take first place. I mentioned sports just a while ago, and I enjoy sports. Less so the older I get. I don't know. I just don't follow it like I used to. But I can still enjoy watching a game. And when I would go to a game in person, here's what I realized. You have stands, and usually at a high school game, one side of the stands is for one team, and the other side of the stands is the other team. And everybody over on this side have these big hands that have the number one raised up. And what are they saying? Our team is number one. Our team is number one. And then you have people on the other side of the stands, and guess what? They have the same thing in different colors over on this side. And they're saying, hey, we're number one. We're number one. And so you have two sides that are shouting, we're number one. I'm going to tell you, there can only be one number one in the Christian's life. In our flesh, in our sinful self, wants to be number one. But Jesus Christ, according to God's word, must be number one. In all things, he must be first place in our lives. If we'll ever be part of something more, we must understand and grasp the truth that Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. And you know what we need to do? Then we need to align with him. That's essential. If we're going to be a part of something more, not only do we need to see that Jesus Christ has the preeminence, we must align ourselves with what he is doing. That means submitting to his leadership in every area of our lives. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Are you fully aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in your walk? Have you surrendered your will to his? Being part of something more begins with making Christ the head of your life. And when he is that, it's so much easier than to follow his headship in the church. We see the source of being more, Christ the head. I want you to see God's design of being more, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. God didn't design the church as a random group of individuals. I said maybe we have a lot of different backgrounds, but we're not randomly selected. He crafted this local church intentionally, placing each and every one of us exactly where he wants us. Now, in our house this year, we had an ugly sweater competition. You say, do you make your own sweaters? No, it's much more fun than that. We had cookies, and they looked like a sweater, and we decorated them to look ugly. Now, we didn't grade them. We had some kids that really wanted a grade on that. But I was looking back. I took a picture of each one, and I looked through, and I said, that one looks like some kind of monster from the Muppet thing or whatever. Little candy canes that look like eyes. Now, just because it was mine, it probably would have won. But that was an accident. I wasn't going for that effect. But that's not at all how the church is put together. He has placed you exactly where he wants you. You say, Pastor, how many times are you going to say that tonight? I don't know, as many as it takes for it to get through our mind and understand that I'm not here by accident. And so if I'm here on purpose, then I must have a purpose. The phrase fitly joined together speaks to the precision of God's work. But now, in 1 Corinthians 12:18, I said earlier, as it has pleased him. The church is made up of different people with different gifts. We said that. Romans 12:4-5 reminds us, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Your unique abilities, personality, experiences are part of God's design. So let me ask you, are you using those abilities that God has given to you? I believe many of you are. I praise God for that. I want to encourage you. You ought to be encouraged when you hear, yes, I want to use my talents and abilities for the Lord to the best of my ability. But you know, not one of us could do everything. We're interdependent. Now, the church is a unique thing, God's creation. In one way, every one of us is needed, but in another way, none of us are. You say, what do you mean by that? That doesn't sound very loving. Well, I mean this. God places you here to do exactly what he wants you to do in this local church. He's given a purpose and a meaning, and he wants you to fulfill that, whatever talents, whatever abilities, whatever ministries he gives you while you're here. He wants you to go on. But let me tell you, no one is the entire ministry dependent upon. If the pastor were to disappear tomorrow, I believe Maranatha Baptist Church would continue on. And I believe that's true. As much as I love each and every person here, and I don't want anyone to ever leave ever, but I know there are times where God moves people. And when he does, the ministry doesn't stop because of that. And so it's such a unique organism that each and every person is needed, and without the full participation, the church is lacking. But yet, when someone is no longer able to come, God fills that need. He makes sure that the ministry does not stop. I want you to think about the bricks used to build this church building. One brick by itself doesn't look like it's going to accomplish very much, does it? You say, are you calling me a blockhead preacher? No. But what I am saying is when you get a stack of bricks in the hands of a master builder, you can have an edifice like this that is beautiful and brings God glory every time we meet together, every time we come in here. I think this is a place that wants to give God glory. And let me tell you, just like a brick, we can come together, and one of us are not able to do all what can be done, but together we can do something amazing for God if we'll work together and allow ourselves to be yielded to the hands of the master builder, God Almighty. Are you actively engaged in God's design for the local church? You see, being a part of something more means embracing your role and contributing to the mission of the body. Or the source of being more, that's Christ. He's the head. The design of being more, that means we are fitly joined together. What about the contribution to being more? Supplying what is needed, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. God's not only given you a place in the local church, he has given you something to contribute. Every member has something to supply. That's what this verse is saying. Every person. You know what God has chosen to use as the instrument to reach this lost and dying world? The local church. Now, I'm thankful for a Bible college, and I'm thankful for different ministries. There's a rescue mission here in town. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for ministries that sometimes feed the homeless or whatever the different ministries are, but I'm telling you that God has given the local church to reach this world with the gospel. And so being part of something more doesn't mean sitting on the sidelines or donating all your time to all these other various activities. He wants you, I believe, to funnel those energies through the local church. That means actively engaging and contributing to the church's mission. The word compacted here carries the idea of being unified, working together. God's equipped each of us with spiritual talents, gifts, resources to use for his glory. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's your gift? Everybody has a spiritual gift. What's yours? I believe he lists them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 has a list. Excuse me, let me re-say that. Romans chapter 12 has a list. I think 1 Corinthians has a list as well. Most of those are no longer extant, I don't believe. But God uses that spiritual gift to edify the body. Now, I've made this statement before. I don't think you necessarily know how or have to know what your spiritual gift is. I think God can use that, but I think you'll be more effective when you know what your spiritual gift is and you can utilize it intentionally. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd say, you know, Pastor, sometimes my contribution doesn't feel like I'm accomplishing very much. It doesn't matter. And you think maybe I'm just one person. What difference can I make? I just want to remind you that every role in the church is significant. Every person, the person who greets visitors at the door, the nursery worker caring for young people, the prayer warrior interceding faithfully, those that are teaching Sunday school. But let me tell you, there are some people behind the scenes. Sometimes we just need to know, hey, how many people are here and what are the resources that we need to make sure that people are being taken care of? There are guys that help to take up the offering and count the offering. There's people that are playing in the instruments. There's people that practice throughout the week for the choir. And all of these things are working together. All of these contributions are vital. Can one person make a difference? What if somebody came in and nobody said welcome? Nobody said, we're glad you're here. You say, that could never happen. I'm going to tell you, I've had people that have visited our church, and I thank God for this, and I want to campaign for this. I don't ever want to lose this, but we've had people that say, your church is one of the friendliest churches I've been to. I'm thankful for that. They said, I've been to a church where I sat down, and let me tell you, this has happened to my wife and I. We've gone into a church, we sat down, nobody said one word to us. They didn't say boo, and we got up, and the church was over, and I felt like I'd been at a stranger's wake because I didn't know anything about anybody, and I was glad to be gone. I mean, that never be said about Maranatha Baptist Church. You say, does it matter if my ministry is the ministry of hospitality? And I'm welcoming people, yeah, it matters. You're having an impact on those people that come in. I want you to think of the church like a symphony. Every musician, from the first violinist to the percussionist in the back, or what we might call a tuba player back here, each one has a part to play. Do you realize in a symphony, if one instrument is out of tune, or they neglect their role, the entire performance is affected. The same is true in the church. Each member faithfully supplies their part. And when that happens, the body functions as God intended. So, what does God expect? Paul says that the body grows through the effectual working in the measure of every part. This means that every member must faithfully work within their God-given capacity. No role is too small or insignificant. Let me tell you, if you think that there's a ministry opportunity that is too small for you to do, then it really is. It means God's not called you to that. There's no humility. When there is a ministry opportunity that is presented to you, and you see the need, that's God saying, listen, this is your time to shine. It might be a ministry of just straightening the chairs. I always thought I'd love chairs instead of pews. And I love the mobility of the chairs, and they're great weddings. We just divide it just like the Red Sea right down the middle, and we're able to put it back. But you know, these things like to move. And I don't understand this, but they only move back. And it may be that your ministry is just putting is that a small thing? No, it's not a small thing. There's no insignificant ministry. We're going to have some that are preaching Sunday nights as we go through and continue to go through our Constitution. I've asked some men to help to expound on the different doctrinal teachings that we have. Yeah, that's important. But what happens behind this pulpit is not the only thing that's important. This is actually is a small percentage of the ministry. I hope you understand that. Now, getting ready to stand back here is a much larger part, okay? But this is a small part of the ministry. And if your only desire is to stand in the limelight, you've missed the meaning and the purpose of ministry. God wants to use you in some aspect. Now, it may be behind the pulpit, but it might be something as small as picking up some trash that you see to beautify God's facilities here. Everybody contributes to the health, the mission, and the impact that our church has in the community. So what's the danger of withholding your contribution? Well, when one member neglects their role, the entire body suffers. Think of a chain with a weak link. Its strength is compromised. Better yet, I think of a tourniquet. They used to put these in those little rescue things that you can get for your car. They would have the flares or triangles, and they would have a tourniquet in there. I don't think they put those in there anymore. I don't know. But you have to know how to work that thing. But you know what happens when you put a tourniquet, even on a good working appendage? You cut the blood supply off. And after a while, if you left that on there long enough, it'd be detrimental to the use of that arm. And your body is not going to work. And when you are not contributing, it's like cutting that blood supply off. And so something is missing when you're not contributing. You say, are you talking about financially? Are you back to talking about money? That's part of it. But really, what is it that God wants you to do here? Everybody has something to do. I think of the decorations that we have. I just think of someone is cleaning, somebody is doing something behind the scenes that we don't see. We're not doing it to be seen. I hope that's not your motivation. Being a part of something more requires faithful participation and a willingness to supply what God has given to you. What's the goal? What do we see as the success? What's the baseline for success? Well, it says in verse 16, maketh increase of the body. That means there's going to be an increase in the body of what? The edifying of itself in love. The ultimate purpose of being fitly joined together is to glorify God and build up His church in love. That's what Paul is saying here. So the church ought to be a place of growth. Now, ultimately, the goal of the church is to glorify God by building itself up in love. We just said that. Maketh increase in the edifying of itself in love. We grow in unity. We grow in maturity. We grow in our love one for another. Ephesians 4:13, just a couple of verses before this, Paul said, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So love is our motivation. What drives our church? What's the glue that holds it all together? Now we said Jesus is the head, but our motivation ought to be love one for another. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not charity, I am nothing. Without love, all of our efforts are meaningless. They're worthless. You see, the body of Christ is the visible representation of His love, of His grace to a lost and dying world. To be a part of the local church is to be a part of God's eternal plan. That's how serious the local church is. There's no higher calling than that. And love motivates us to serve sacrificially, to forgive completely and freely, to work tirelessly for the well-being of others. And it should be what binds us together and gives our efforts that eternal significance. When the church operates as God designed, with Christ as the head, every member contributing, and love at the very center of it all, it becomes a powerful testimony to the world outside. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." The church is called to be a lighthouse, shining the light of Christ in a lost and dying world. So what does it mean to be a part of something more? It means recognizing that God has placed you in the local church for a purpose. Embrace that role. Contribute your gifts. Work together with others to build up the body in love. You know what that results in? Finding joy, fulfillment, and being part of God's eternal plan. We talked this morning about Christianity is something more. But God channels all of that effort through the local church. So I really want to encourage you. Discover how God can use your life to make a difference in the lives of others. When you do that, you'll glorify Him. There's nothing more rewarding than being part of something greater than yourself, something eternal. And I believe together, as a local church, we can accomplish far more than we ever could individually. I hope that you will embrace the truth of being fitly joined together in Christ. Ephesians 4:16 paints the beautiful picture of the local church. Body fitly joined together, where every member has a role to play in something far greater than themselves. Have you embraced that truth? Have you looked for a place in the body of Christ where you can exercise your gifts, your abilities, your talents? Listen, if you're on the sidelines, if you're on the periphery, now is the time to get involved. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. Christ is calling you to be a part of His divine mission. I hope that you'll commit to being part of something more. Whether it's stepping into some ministry that maybe nobody sees, maybe it's using your talents and your abilities in the context of the local church for His glory. Could be encouraging a fellow believer, welcoming someone to the services, or maybe just renewing your dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him what the next step should be. Together, as a local church, we can glorify God and build His church in love for His glory and for eternity. Let's be a part of something more in the local church. Will you pray with me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Maybe tonight you'd say, "Pastor, I've been sitting on the sidelines." Or maybe you say, "I've not been using my talents." Or maybe you said, "Pastor, I've not been interested in that ministry because it was beneath me." But tonight I've been reminded that I'm part of something special. But I've not been contributing. I've not been supplying what the joints and the rest of the body needs. Maybe I've just made church an afterthought. But Pastor, tonight I needed to hear what God had for me. By His grace, I'm going to recommit. And I'm going to utilize those gifts and those talents that God has given me to edify the body, to build up the local church in love. If that's you tonight, will you just let me pray for you? I want to be a part of something more. And tonight God has reminded me that I need that. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.